back up over in Galatia. We're still kind of catching up where we left off. And back up to chapter 3. We left off someplace in chapter 3. Your guess is as good as mine. Anyway, we'll kind of pick up there and catch up to where we were, and eventually, Lord willing, finish the book of Galatians. Of course, Paul is writing to these folks with a great burden on his heart. False teachers have come in the midst of the flock and spread untruths, have perverted the gospel, and Paul doesn't pull any punches about addressing them. And right off in chapter 1, if you remember, he said in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. I mean, there's truth and there's falsehood. There's a gospel of Jesus Christ and there are other gospels that are not gospels of the same type or of the same sort or of the same origin. And so Paul is greatly concerned with this. And again, we look at this man, Paul, a hard-headed, proud religionist. He had more religion than most anybody around. And hard-headed about his standing and his thoughts and his beliefs. And the Lord intervened. Gave him life, drew him to himself, made him the apostle to the Gentiles. The stinking Gentiles, as far as Paul would have been concerned up until that time. And now he has a great love and a great burden for them. So when Paul writes, he sets his credentials before them. They knew him. He'd been there. He'd preached them. The Lord had used them to bring them to embrace the gospel of their salvation. But Paul sets forth, you know, how the Lord had worked in his life and how the Lord had instructed him, how he'd received these things. And he deals as well up to this point with those false teachers that he dealt with in the past. They'd come to Antioch when he was there. And Paul had to go to Jerusalem and confront the leaders, the pillars there in Jerusalem and say, what's going on? And they added nothing to him because Paul had received his instruction of the Lord. And then Paul had even at one point been called to stand up and face down Peter, you know, preeminent amongst the apostles. Certainly never the Pope, but Peter was another hard head. I can identify with hard heads. Because that's kind of what I've always been. But Paul was willing to stand up, proclaim the truth. He truly cared for people. He cared for them enough to speak the truth to them. And after he had addressed these false teachers and what had come in there, as he began off in chapter 3, Paul said to the saints in Galatia, you know, reflect upon what God's done in your own lives. Now reflect of what God accomplished. Paul could reflect back to the road to Damascus. He didn't do nothing. Paul says to the saints in Galatia, I want you to think on this. What is it you did? O foolish Galatians in verse 1 of chapter 3, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. You know why they saw and embraced the truth? Because God revealed it to them. Jesus Christ was was set before them as the crucified one. He said, verse 2, this only what I learned of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I mean, what did you do? How were these things accomplished? Because of something you did? And yet, there had been those who came in and were proclaiming another gospel. Well, brethren, there can't be another gospel without proclaiming another Christ, because the Christ of the gospel is the one that laid down his life for his people. The Lord had warned of these times during his own ministry. And in Matthew 24 and 24, the Lord said, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. So Paul calls upon them to reflect upon their own experiences, what God has done in their own lives. Reflect upon what's needful. And that is, we have to strive. We have to continue on. It's all by the grace of God. It's all by God's providence and decree. But it's not easy. It's a fight. It's a struggle. And that's what it's intended to be. And so Paul said, what is it you did? Again in verse 2. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We trace it back, even as Paul had mentioned one gospel and how it had been proclaimed throughout the Old Testament. It's Isaiah saying, Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? Who believes our report? Who believes the gospel? You know, the ones you've manipulated enough? The ones that you appeal to their intellect enough? The ones who you appeal to their emotions enough? Who hath believed our report? What's Isaiah say? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's God. It was God. If they were genuinely his children, it's God that did that. It wasn't something they did or someone they followed. What's Paul say in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7? Who maketh thee to differ from another? I mean, that cuts right to the heart of it. And yet, you know, so much in Arminianism and the works salvation that abounds today and cults and everything else. I did this. I did that. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what do you have that you didn't receive? Paul says. It's all him. He had nothing in which to glory. And of course, that passage I often refer to where the Lord asked his disciples, who am I? Who do men say that I am? Oh, I had all kind of answers, but who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee, my Father in heaven. You didn't discover Christ. He chose you, if you're one of his. So who hath believed our report? To whom the arm of the Lord is revealed? During his earthly ministry, we read over in John 12, verse 37, concerning our Lord. It says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Well, you know, some of the Arminian preachers today, they think, man, if I was just a little more effective, I had a little bit better methods, and I could get a lot more people to come forward. I could get a lot more people saved. They even teach you how to do that. How to give an effective invitation and to get more people saved. The Lord should have read that book, right? I mean, during his earthly ministry, it says he did all these miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Well, boy, if he'd have read that book by John R. Rice or whoever, boy, he would have got a lot more to follow him. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. Those used to be some hard verses to deal with back, you know, in the Arminian days. You had to kind of explain them away and explain around them and explain how they didn't mean what they said. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. That's what, the glory belongs to him. It belongs to him because of his sovereign grace, not because of us and our choices and what we've done. And so Paul's trying to get the Galatians to reflect on these things. It comes down to this one thing. It's all of God or it's not at all. And those that trusted because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And they trusted because they exercised faith. The faith of Christ. The faith that they'd received as well. Now we're privileged to exercise that faith that he gives us, but it's the faith of Christ. As he continues on there in chapter 3, he says, are you so foolish? Verse 3. And are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? I mean, it was the Spirit that accomplished these things. It was the Spirit that did this work to begin with. Now are they going to make it better? Are they going to complete it? You know, through their own flesh? Can they do anything in the power of the flesh to commend themselves to God? To complete what the Spirit's done? I mean, oh yeah, so except the man be circumcised, he can't be saved. Oh, well, okay. Oh, maybe they needed to be baptized. Maybe they needed to do some good works. Maybe they needed to return to obeying all the dictates of the law. Paul says, think about it a minute. You began your Christian journey with the most exalted of things, the very Spirit of God. Now, are you thinking you can complete that by the deeds of your own stinking flesh? And then Paul says in verse 4, Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? I mean, we can't look at people's hearts. We don't know those who are truly his elect. But we know, you know, that breathing tells. and it shows, it works out. And scriptures talk about working out your salvation. It's not doing works in order to get saved. It manifests who you are by the way you live. Have you suffered so many things in vain? I mean, having come this far, I mean, now do you quit? Now do you go off into heresy? I mean, it's important. And this is all by the grace of God, and it shows who we are. But it's important, you know, that we finish well. A lot of folks that start off well, the Lord had parable about sowing seeds, you know. And some just died on the side. Some sprung up because they didn't have any soil or any good soil. It's the Lord that makes the soil good. Paul wrote to young Timothy, who was pastor at the church of Ephesus, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6. Paul said this, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, to do what the Lord's called us to do, you know, to keep on. Who was it? Our friend Dennis was recently, he was talking about my interview and how he admires my ability to speak to the public. I don't think I have a very good ability at that, really. But how, you know, how he admires that. And I said, you know, I don't think I have anything like that. I mean, really, you know, listen to my voice and my delivery and whatever. I don't. But you know what? Neither did Moses. And Jonah didn't want to do. Lord had to have him swallowed by a big old fish. You know, and you just look at these folks. I said, no, you know, I don't think I got all these great abilities, but I do believe I've been called to this. I get tired sometimes. I want to say, forget it. You know, was it worth it? But I think, you know what? I've been called to this. Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Finish the course. Finish well. Paul's telling the Galatians, you know, you seem to have started well. You're going to go off into this? And it's all by God's grace. Let me just note there what Paul says about that crown of righteousness. You know, what's going to happen with those? If you read in Revelation, those rewards we receive for faithful service, which is only by his grace anyway, we're going to puff out our chest and we're going to parade them around heaven throughout all eternity. No, it says we're going to cast them at Jesus' feet. We're going to cast them at Jesus' feet. Because the acknowledgement, it was all of him. It was nothing of us. But he's going to allow us to do that. That seems like kind of a neat thing to be thinking about. So it's not really how we begun the race, but it's rather how we finish it. You know, that shows our true mettle. That shows our true core. That shows our principles and our foundations. Most folks, they don't know what all those words mean, I don't think. Again, in Hebrews, Paul talks about, he says, wherefore, Hebrews 12, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, we have a race set before us. We're encompassed by a cloud of witnesses, you know, those that went before. Whether they literally watch or not, but their testimonies are there. Their witnesses are there. And again, I can't help but come back to contemporary times. That's what they're trying to destroy. The remembrances of those that went before. It's an assault on all these things. They don't. And the reason, I'm getting off now, but anyway, the reason it's focused on the South, you tell me where, more than any place else in the world, there is still at least a vestige of Christian Western culture. Tell me where. Here, not anything close to what it ought to be, but compared to the rest of the world, where else is it? And that's why we're under attack. Heather and I were having a little discussion. We don't always agree about everything, but we were having just, and she got to talk about these things, how she'd studied the Chinese and whatever, and basically she sees what's going on. It's a cultural revolution. You know, it's a cultural revolution that's like, you know, like they did under Mao. This is ours. And again, they didn't stop at pulling out statues. that came after folks like you and me. Okay, I got off on that. But anyway, we're compassed by a cloud of witnesses. Those who went before us, by God's grace, but God used them. And we have an obligation to them. And we have an obligation to those that are going to follow us. And just say, well, it's convenient. We'll just tear these things down and forget about it. But what about that cloud of witnesses? What about our posterity? So it'll all be easy, you know. We could just close up and go join the first big first church somewhere. That'd be easy, you know. No, there's a reason, you know, the Lord's called us to be here and to go on. By us, I mean all of us. Whether folks are members or friends of the church, most of them that are here, again, know they want why they're here and they want to be here. And then Paul, in verse 5, which kind of concludes this section anyway. He says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles before you, doth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Again, what you've seen, what you've heard, the ministry you've received, and Brother Gill believes this verse is really talking about God. Some believe it's talking about Paul, but regardless if it is talking about Paul, it's as the instrument and tool of God. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law? Did you get this stuff because of what you did? No. Because you were deserving? Because you were upright and moral? No, they weren't. Or by the hearing of faith. And that's God-given faith. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. In that particular passage, the word there is not logos, but rhema. And the word of God, they're speaking about God's command, God's direction. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the command of God. Wasn't anything you did. It wasn't because of the works of the law. It wasn't because you conformed and walked an aisle and recited a sinner's prayer or got baptized. Or it was by the hearing of faith. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's all by the grace of God. And then the next section here, which we'll pick up next week, Paul sets forth the example of Abraham. And he talks so much about that through Scripture, the faith of Abraham. But the faith of Abraham is the faith of Christ. We have like faith unto Abraham because we receive the faith of Christ, just as he did. And we'll consider that more next time, Lord willing. Let's take our hymnals this morning, and we'll stand and sing a closing hymn together, number 363. I'll sing you a song, 363.
Creator and giver of life. His mighty works, so there's never an end. I'll sing you a song of salvation's great plan. The plan of our Savior to save fallen man. The human would fall this earth they had made, and his chosen ones would by Jesus be saved. For Christ would redeem them in his blessed time, would pay their sin debt with his blood so divine. Praise God, he was willing to pay such a price that his chosen ones may have eternal life. I'll sing you a song of God's heaven so fair, for all his elect ones will surely be there, will dwell there with Jesus in peace and delight, all praising our Savior in garments of white, when we shed the splendors of that golden shore. We'll never stop praising the one we adore, for he came to Calvary and died in our place. He gave us a right home by his wondrous grace.
Father, we do thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your wondrous grace. Lord, we know that it's you alone that made us to differ from anybody else. We know that anything we have, we received. We know, Lord, that we believe the report only because you revealed it to us. And Father, may you receive all the glory and praise. Lord, in the light of that sovereignty, may we trust thee as we ought. May we step out in faith and do those things that you've called us to do. Father, we pray for Sister Joanne at home today, and just pray that you comfort her heart and strengthen her body. We all do miss her. Pray, Lord, you be with Laura and Kyle as they travel back to their universities. Lord, you put your hand upon them there and strengthen them. Protect them. Keep them faithful. Thank you, Lord, for the time we've been able to enjoy with Kyle this summer. Just pray that his heart may have been encouraged. Lord, we pray for grace to stand in these times in which we live. Ever-increasing onslaught against truth and heritage and culture, yet indeed against the Lord Jesus Christ and his church. Help us, Lord, to stand as we ought, proclaim your truths. Lord, again, thank you for each one that's here, and go with us as we go forth. Lord, put your hand on those that need your healing. Be with our sister churches, our sisters and brothers in the Lord. I thank you for your love that spanned eternity. Thank you for our Savior's all-sufficient atonement. Thank you, Lord, for the work of the Spirit that gave us life, opened our ears and eyes, gave us the gifts of repentance and faith. Father, may we live lives worthy of Him who has called us. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.